Bonjour tout le monde. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for joining us for another session in the Born Data to Action webinar series. We're so happy to have you with us today. Today's webinar focuses on modernizing the Ontario Perinatal Record through the Digital Ontario Perinatal Record, or DOPR. Looking at who's registered and has joined us today, we can see there's clinicians from across the perinatal care continuum. Health system administrators, epidemiologists, researchers, clinicians, and many other healthcare professionals. That's exactly the audience we were hoping for. Before we begin today's webinar, we'd like to begin with a land acknowledgement. We acknowledge that Bourne, Ontario, hosted at CHEO, is located on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe Nation. We honor the enduring presence of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples and recognize their long-standing stewardship of these lands, waters, communities, and knowledge systems. As we discuss the Digital Ontario Perinatal Record, DOPR, and the future of connected perinatal care, we recognize that digital health innovation must be developed in ways that are equitable, inclusive, and grounded in respect for the rights, priorities, and perspectives of the communities it serves. Bourne, Ontario is committed to working collaboratively with Indigenous partners to support respectful data practices and to ensure that the design and implementation of digital health initiatives reflect principles of trust, partnership, and self-determination. As we gather today, we recognize that many participants are joining from communities across Ontario and beyond. We invite you to take a moment to reflect on the land you are on and the Indigenous peoples who have cared for it, and our shared responsibility to foster respectful relationships and advance reconciliation. Today's webinar is being recorded. A recording will be shared with participants when it is available. My name is Mariah, and my role at Bourne is Strategic Partnership and Network Coordinator. I will be hosting today's webinar and moderating the question and answer period. I am also joined by my colleague, Tammy Kipfer, Communication Specialist, who will be managing the chat box and other important items behind the scenes. And I'm now so pleased to introduce to you today's speakers. Our first speaker is Alicia St. Hill. Alicia is the Executive Director of Ontario's Better Outcomes Registry and Network, BORN, including Prenatal Screening Ontario at CHEO. Her career spans health policy, care delivery management, quality improvement, and performance measurement in both Washington, D.C. and Ottawa. She is committed to building a collaborative learning health system that supports well-being throughout pregnancy and childhood. Alicia champions technology and innovation to transform how health information is collected, analyzed, and shared to improve outcomes. Alicia champions technology and innovation to transform how health information is collected, analyzed, and shared to improve outcomes. She holds degrees from Queen's University and the University of Ottawa, with postgraduate training in health services, research, and information systems. Outside of work, she enjoys life in Ottawa with her three energetic children. And our next speaker is Dr. Anna Chavlovsky. Dr. Chavlovsky is the medical director for the Bourne Connect Digital Ontario Perinatal Record, DOPR, initiative at Bourne. In this role, she provides clinical leadership and strategic direction for the development of connected, interoperable digital health solutions that support high-quality, integrative perinatal care across Ontario. A family physician and respected health system leader, Dr. Chavlovsky holds a Master of Science in Healthcare Quality from Queen's University and brings extensive experience in clinical leadership, quality improvement, system transformation, and collaborative governance. She currently serves as co-lead for primary care with Ontario Health East and is an adjunct assistant professor at Queen's University. Passionate about advancing person-centered care through innovation and collaboration, Dr. Chavlovsky works closely with patients, families, clinicians, and health system partners to support the co-design of digital solutions that improve care coordination, information sharing, and outcomes across the pregnancy and early life journey. And our next speaker is Pascal Girard Frappier. Pascal is a project coordinator at Born Ontario, where she leads province-wide data-driven initiatives to improve maternal, newborn, and child health outcomes. Prior to joining Born, Pascal practiced as a registered midwife in the Ottawa area, bringing valuable frontline clinical experience to her work in digital health transformation. She currently supports the launch of the Born Connect program, an ambitious initiative to design and implement a modernized digital Ontario perinatal record, the DOPR. Thank you so much, Alicia, Anna, and Pascal, for joining us today. Today, we encourage you to submit your questions at any time using the Q&A box. We'll do our best to address as many as possible during the discussion period following today's presentation. And before we begin, I'd like to mention that today's webinar has been accredited for continuing professional development. This session has been certified by the College of Family Physicians of Canada for up to one MainPro Plus certified activity credit. It is also an accredited group learning activity, Section 1, under the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Canada's Maintenance of Certification Program, and has been approved by the University of Ottawa's Office of Continuing Professional Development. Participants may claim up to 1 hour with credits calculated automatically. In addition, all Born Ontario webinars, including today's session, are reviewed and approved by Sonography Canada. Certificates of attendance will be issued in early August via email. Our speakers today have no conflicts of interest to declare. And with that said, I'll now turn it over to you, Alicia, to get us started.
Thank you so much, Mariah. And thank you so much, all of you who have joined, whether you're from Ontario or from jurisdictions outside. We look forward to working together with you. And so glad that you're here to learn and contribute alongside us as the digitization and the integration of a digital pregnancy record is a goal that many of us have across Canada and not just in Ontario. But we're happy to be launching this event today and look forward to working with many of you in the future. On the agenda, there are three takeaways that we want you to have at the end of this hour. First is that you'll be able to explain the vision, goals, and the benefits of a digital OPR Plus for connected perinatal care. You'll understand how Born Connect integrates the clinical, registry, and guideline-based information that we hope enhances how we coordinate care across the health system, across pregnancy and early life. And also identify concrete opportunities for you to contribute to this project, whether that's through co-design, sharing some thoughts and perspectives, and helping with the implementation of Born Connect and the DOPR across Ontario. Before we dive into some of the framing of the Digital OPR Plus, I want to ground us in the people that we're designing the DOPR for. Many of you here today likely have lived experience going through pregnancy or maybe pregnant now, in fact, and know just how disjointed in some cases the information sharing can be. So to do that, we're going to meet Camilla and use her journey as a patient story throughout today's presentation. Her experience reflects many of the real-world challenges patients and clinicians face. So she's a 27-year-old expecting for the first time living in rural Ontario. She works part-time in retail and has limited auxiliary benefits or insurance benefits. She's excited about her pregnancy, but struggles to navigate a fragmented healthcare system. And her quote here is that, "I don't want to tell my story over and over again. I want the people caring for me and my baby to know what's happening and to help me figure out what to do next." And by keeping her story at the center of our discussion, we can better understand the problems we're trying to solve and why they matter. We'll come back to Camilla's journey as we explore how the DOPR can improve the experience for both patients and for care teams. But to start, I'm going to give a small primer on Born Ontario. Before the record itself, this is a little bit about why, Bourne wanted to take this on. And if you already partner with us as a data contributor, perhaps you sit on one of our advisory committees, or just read our reports or participate in some of our webinars, you're familiar with much of the work that we're doing. But what matters, this does matter because our mandate is a foundation of what will follow as we build the DOPR. At Bourne, we consider ourselves and our programming to be rooted in supporting a learning health system across Ontario. And many of you will be familiar with this circle at the center, that practice to data, data to knowledge, and knowledge to practice concepts anchored in the quintuple aim at the center. Now, Bourne already does a lot of aspects of fueling a learning health system. Many of you know we capture data from a number of different organizations and a vast network that provide perinatal healthcare and child healthcare. We support the development of a longitudinal record and linking that data across encounters of care, support benchmark development, aggregate data and share it with researchers, as well as publish much of our data at ICES, and support quality assurance measurement with what we have, especially in areas of prenatal screening. That we share our knowledge and by supporting reports, offering research, surveillance, audit and feedback tools, even health equity initiatives and public health programs. And with this information, we seek to grow in our efforts to action insights. And that's when we transform what we know into what we as a system can do. And our Prenatal Screening Ontario program is a perfect example of how we play a role in the care journey directly by supporting high quality and timely screening for fetal anomalies and soon for blood incompatibility as well. So for a very long time, and 15 years plus, Bourne has had the clinical relevance and focus and registry authority, the data linkages, and the infrastructure in place to support an initiative like the DOPR. But now the technology is far more ready for what has always been the vision. The DOPR Plus is going to extend this foundation directly into point of care, offering personalized health insights to the right hands at the right time, and builds on critical system partnerships with clinicians and practices and digital health leaders. Now, what anchors us is our registry purpose. We are authorized to facilitate and improve care, and that's why Bourne is uniquely positioned to take on this work in perinatal health. We've been a prescribed registry under Ontario's Personal Health Information Protection Act since 2009, and that authorizes us to securely collect, use, and share and analyze personal health information across the system. Few organizations exist quite like this that have the legal authority and the capability to do and manage perinatal health and child health data at scale. This unique position is what makes Bourne well positioned to lead and to support the development and integration of a solution across the system and work with our partners to do so. Every decision is driven by one overarching goal, that we are targeting the best possible beginnings for lifelong health and through the pregnancy period. This foundation explains why this record is needed and why now. So next, we'll describe a little bit of the problem we're solving, which I'm sure many of you are very familiar with. The next few slides will look at how perinatal care actually works today and then follow our patient Camilla through it. Perinatal care is complex. It is a team sport and involves many moving parts and many significant diversity in the models of care that exist across the province. One person may move through primary care, midwifery, obstetrics, MFM, hospital care, public health, mental health supports, lab and imaging, as well as community services. And at every one of those handoffs, the point where information needs to travel with the patient, part of that patient's story, and that what matters to provide the best possible beginnings to lifelong health and the best possible outcomes is anchored in what is shared in those care encounters and their care management plans. At the goal at the center of this slide is what we want: personalized, connected, high-quality care through pregnancy and childbirth. And the complexity truly isn't the problem. Specialized care is a good thing. Inverting the triangle so that people get the care they need as early as they need it is ideal. But our information systems haven't kept pace with how collaborative that care really is and needs to continue to be. So our next slides will show a patient example of moving through that system. So Camilla's back again. And her story, I think, reflects what is truly a common across Ontario and perinatal record keeping right now. At 10 weeks, she visits a walk-in clinic after a positive pregnancy test because she doesn't have a primary care provider. She has transportation challenges, food insecurity, and lacks that primary care attachment. But they're discussed, not consistently documented. She's referred to a midwife for prenatal care, and so her pregnancy record started in that first EMR in the walk-in clinic. In fact, they probably ordered some labs alongside, and that's also started, counseled, and maybe even received consent or perhaps patient dissented certain screening. At 24 weeks, Camilla develops gestational diabetes. Her midwife documents in her EMR, that's the second place that part of her pregnancy record exists, and refers her to a diabetes education team. The specialist documents in yet a third EMR about the care plan that will follow with her diabetes diagnosis. Food insecurity makes dietary recommendations difficult to follow, and information exists in multiple systems where there is really no shared care plan for Camilla. At 30 weeks, Camilla requires insulin treatment, and her care is transferred to an obstetrician. The obstetrician also documents in their EMR. And at 38 weeks, Camilla presents in labor to a hospital different than where she'd planned. Providers do not have easy access to her complete prenatal history, her social circumstances, her interpreter needs, or diabetes management plan, and they initiate yet additional records. So I want to frame the cost of this as a safety issue, not just an administrative one. Picture any risk flags, knowledge about abnormal lab results early in Camilla's pregnancy that are just not available downstream. If that detail doesn't travel cleanly across transitions, the next clinician will be working from an incomplete picture and screening step or an intervention that could be delayed or missed because they thought it might have been done before. On this slide, we show that as a delay in decision-making potentially because of incomplete data or inconsistent record keeping, or perhaps it's also increased the administrative burden for clinicians who need to manually enter this information, retrieve it from multiple sources, and keep it documented in their systems. That limited data integration is effectively preventing perinatal health optimization, and our system performance lacks because we can't follow that ideal evidence-based care plan and monitor our accountability to deliver against it. So truly, pregnancy care deserves better. There are over 160,000 women every year, or pregnant individuals, who receive more than 1.6 million prenatal and postpartum care visits. And many, many times, care providers are faxing records between one another, retranscribing and documenting again. So patients really deserve better. They deserve centralized records for safer care. They deserve to be better engaged at the right time with the right information in their care journey. And we need to advance health equity by sharing with patients what they can't or don't know as well. Health literacy can be very much supported through digital health, and we've seen that, and we see it both for the good and the bad through social media as well. Providers also deserve better, that more efficient in-workflow record sharing, especially with the technology that's available to us today, to support them with evidence-based supports, because not every day, especially in primary care, are we taking care of a pregnant individual. And the best practices are constantly changing. System intelligence needs to be better integrated, and people are constantly asking us for a one-stop shop for the information, requisitions, and details that are needed to take care of pregnant individuals. And lastly, our system can do better because along all of this journey, we can be collecting information and learning more about our patients as a collective and as individuals to provide better intelligence at point of care. And better intelligence across the system as to how good of a care system we've delivered, how good those outcomes are, not to mention also collecting patient experience. We think the call for action is clear. The public at large, as outlined in the Our Care survey that was done in 2022, states that people really want to have one personal record. In fact, many people think that they already do. And 75% of people responded saying that it's really important for them to have access to their own personal health information online. And clinicians for years have been asking us, when is it time for us to get a digital perinatal record? And so through PCMCH's survey that was done before the Ontario Perinatal Record Review started to update it, we saw that it's highly adopted and we're looking for digital formats and that many providers are using EMRs, including midwives. So we've got the pieces aligned. The tool, the OPR, is already well adopted. It needs to be in a better editable digital form inside the EMR, but it's still faxed. The demand is here. The infrastructure exists. We have provincial assets and intelligence that actually can be used to stop that transcription of lab results onto the record. And the mandate is clear. And the cost of waiting is very real. So we're looking forward to the adoption, the infrastructure development, and converging this with our mandate to be able to act now. As far as we're concerned, it's time. And so we're very happy for the support of the Ministry of Health and to many of our partners that it's time for us to develop a digital OPR plus that will do better for pregnant individuals, their families, and their clinicians at supporting more intelligent, connected care with less paperwork and greater efficiency. Anna?
Hey, thanks, Alicia. And it's my pleasure to take over and tell you a bit more about how we will be building the DOPR and Born Connect, the program that the DOPR is part of. So, the DOPR is part of Born Connect, which is a broader strategic program. It leverages Born's prescribed registry status and data infrastructure to deliver more personalized, equitable, and outcomes-focused information to individuals, clinicians, and communities. Born Connect is the overarching vision. It modernizes the Ontario perinatal record we use today into a connected, interoperable digital workflows across pregnancy and the immediate postpartum period. So this is Camilla again. And now Camilla's journey is in a connected system. Earlier, we discussed Camilla's care journey in a non-interoperable connected system. This is the same providers, same transitions. Her journey looks a lot different and much more integrated than the four fax version from earlier. Instead of four disconnected copies, there's one connected record that travels with her, Camilla. Each clinician can view what came before, adds to it in their own workflow, and passes it forward without retranscription or faxing. This is captured once and used many times so that the risk flags or labs we were worried about are simply there when the next clinician needs it. You can see the caption on the side saying, "We are listening for more." This is very much not a baked concept. It's a conceptual vision, not a finished product, and we're shaping it with you today. So we've talked about the goals, and these are our six commitments about how we are intending to build the Digital Ontario Perinatal Record. We want it to be interoperable. It will work across EMRs and provincial systems using shared data standards, not another island of information. It will be sustainable, built to last on Born's enduring registries infrastructure, not a pilot that disappears at the end of the funding cycle. It will be safe and improve clinical safety by putting the right information at the right point of care. It will be secure, governed by under Born's PHIPAA authority with self-managed data governance so patients can retain control of over their own information. It will be practical, fit into real workflows, anchored in a tool that clinicians already use every day. And it will be relevant. It'll integrate multiple data sources, connect EMRs, OLIS, ultrasounds, registries, and other clinical systems to deliver timely, comprehensive information to clinicians and patients. This is about a bit of comedic relief. It's a bit of humor. But because I think this is something many of us can relate to, we've all become accustomed to tracking everything these days, online orders, food deliveries, even the package when it's just a few stops away. But somehow during pregnancy, one of life's most important journeys, there's very little visibility into what's happening between appointments or across different care providers. And while babies don't come with tracking numbers, the information that supports their care should really travel seamlessly between providers, and their patients. That's exactly what we're aiming to achieve with the DOPR, a connected, interoperable system where the right information reaches the right people at the right time, supporting better decisions and better care throughout the pregnancy journey. So, the next few slides zoom in on what the DOPR could do for the patient, their family, clinician, and the healthcare system, and what those functions could look like. On the right side of the slide is what we imagine to be a secure platform where patients and families can access personalized information throughout their pregnancy and early parenting journey. Rather than being a single-purpose app, This would be a platform that is connected to the Ontario Perinatal Record and brings together multiple services over time. For example, it could support personalized health and optimization based on an individual's needs and stage of pregnancy. It could help us with collection of health history and demographic information to reduce duplication and better inform care. It would also help us with the collection of patient-reported experiences and outcomes to help improve care. And these are just a few thoughts. So this slide, oh, next one, please. Yeah. This slide shows how the DOPR connects both patients and clinicians around a shared record. The goal isn't to build separate tools for patients and providers, but to create a connected ecosystem where information flows seamlessly between them. On the left is the direct patient and family platform we just discussed, and on the right are clinician-facing capabilities that are embedded directly into existing EMR workflows. This is an important principle because we want to support clinicians within their current workflows rather than disrupting them with multiple separate logins, et cetera. The opportunity here is to have one live record shared across the providers touching this individual's pregnancy. It would also be a single source of truth, which can power screening and earlier identification of those who may benefit from additional support or earlier intervention. Some examples are risk for preeclampsia. Some examples are risk for preeclampsia or preterm labor, which can be identified earlier with point of care tools. Together, these patient and clinician-facing capabilities reinforce one another. Information shared by patients can inform clinical care, while clinicians can deliver personalized recommendations and resources back to the patient. Ultimately, DOPR becomes more than a digital platform. It becomes shared infrastructure that connects patients, providers, and the healthcare system, supporting better decisions, reducing administrative burden, and improving coordination. So far we've talked about the value of pay for patients and providers. This sh slide shifts the perspectives of the healthcare system. At the highest level, our vision is to improve care and outcomes by delivering personalized, evidence-based information at the right time, enabled by interoperable data standards. There are three key system benefits here. First, we can infuse care with system intelligence. Instead of providers relying only on the information available within their own organization or their own record, they can benefit from shared interoperable insights generated from provisional data. Second, we strengthen the learning health system. By collecting standardized information throughout the pregnancy journey, we create continuous feedback loops. The data doesn't just document care, it helps us understand what is working, identify emerging trends, and continuously improve programs, policies, and clinical practice. The third benefit is that we can better measure quality and act where it's needed most. With timely, high-quality data, we can monitor outcomes across the province, identify inequities or gaps in care, and evaluate whether interventions are having the intended impact. This enables governments, health system leaders, and programs to make evidence-informed decisions and target resources where they will have the greatest benefit. Ultimately, this is about creating a connected learning health system where every interaction contributes to improving care, not just for one individual, but for future families across Ontario. As we build the DOPR, we don't have to start from scratch. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can learn from successful digital perinatal tools that are already being used across Canada and around the world. These tools demonstrate different approaches, from sending personalized text messages or voice reminders about pregnancy milestones to enabling secure sharing of pregnancy records across care providers. What they have in common is that they provide timely, personalized information while connecting patients and clinicians through shared data to support more proactive and coordinated care. Our goal is not to replicate any one solution. Instead, we will learn from what's worked, understand the challenges others have faced, and adapt those lessons to fit Ontario's unique healthcare system, cultural context, and the needs of the people we serve. Lastly, this is very much beyond perinatal care. The DOPR is built for perinatal care, but the framework isn't limited to it. The same approach, shared standards, data infrastructure, information sharing, embedded supports applies to other areas, or I would say all areas of integrated care. Perinatal care is an ideal proving ground, high volume, multi-provider, anchored in a widely used tool, the OPR. What we learn here becomes a template for connected care across Ontario and investment with reach well beyond pregnancy. And over to Pascal.
Thank you, Anna. Bonjour à tous. Good afternoon, everyone.
Alicia and Anna have shared with you the what and the why of the Born Connect program and an interoperable digital OPR thus far. So, in the next few slides, I would like to share with you our vision on how we will build it, the governance behind it, who we're partnering with, the timeline, and most importantly, how each of you can get involved. So, there are several elements that are essential to building a provincial DOPR plus, and these include strong governance and system-wide buy-in. Nothing works without it, and so it must come first. And the next slide will show you how this project will be governed. Born Connect will be informed, oh, sorry, thank you, will be informed and co-designed by Ontarians and for Ontarians, and built to respond to the real issues faced by individuals, families, clinicians, and organizations today. Efficient connection will be essential and will support smooth and secure workflows to ensure easy access and share information seamlessly using existing EMRs and other applications via in-context launches. Here, we're also thinking about identification processes and tools both for clinicians and patients. The infrastructure will be supported by interoperability and data standards specific to the healthcare community, which includes user management, data sharing rules, decision support standards, and strong privacy and security frameworks. And one of the features that we've alluded to a little bit earlier includes the generation of insights, feeding personalized clinical decision supports into the DOPR Plus, such as the early identification of preterm birth risk, gestational diabetes follow-up care, prenatal screening counseling guidance, preeclampsia risk, and just to name a few. And together with references to clinical guidelines supporting preventative care and counseling support. We're also currently in the process of developing a proof of concept point of care application to bring these insights to clinicians, which will allow to test assumptions against real-world example before building more broadly. I will circle back to this project towards the end and share how you can provide input into this project. The partnership we forge will be key to achieving this. Born has been building relationships for many years with various partners, and they will have an integral role to play. We will build on these relationships and continue to engage with new partners until all perspectives and roles required are at the table to support this work. And so, starting from the top, from the standard and provincial infrastructure perspectives, our partners include Ontario Health, Kaihai, and Canada Health Infoway, who set interoperability and data standards, as well as steward provincial records like the OLIS Laboratory Information System, or OLIS. Our clinical and provincial leadership program partners will guide what good care looks like. And this is by no means an exhaustive list, but some of our partners include PCMCH, who led the renewal of the OPR itself, professional colleges and societies who drive documentation standards and guideline adherence, and we will connect with clinicians themselves to collect their input as well. With regards to EMR and points of care integration, to align the solution with everyday workflow and determining how system will talk to one another, we're partnering with Ontario MD, Amplify Care, and the HIS collaboratives across Meditech, Cerner, and Epic to bring deep experience embedding tools where care actually happens. Our community, equity, and lived experience partners will ensure that our future solution is anchored in the Ontario context, keeping it grounded in the gaps and challenges currently experienced. We're also working with regional maternal and child networks and public health to bring on-the-ground needs and patient advocacy and patient with lived experience groups to tell us what families actually want to see. These inputs will, from all these groups, will be, and all our partners will be gathered and supported by strong governance throughout the life of the project. And the following structure will be implemented. Given Born's unique role as a registry and its strong data infrastructure, as Alicia explained a bit earlier, the Ministry of Health officially mandated Born earlier this year with the development of the digital OPR. Therefore, Born will lead the program delivery and provide coordination support throughout the life of the program. We're also currently in the process of establishing a steering committee as the principal governance body, providing strategic direction and oversight to the program. And their decisions will be informed by the three various committee or advisory committee that are shown here. So the technical committee will provide technical validation and recommendations and escalate any technical risks and support decision requiring strategic input as needed. The clinical committee would validate data elements that will inform the digital OPR, clinical workflows and referral pathways, and escalate any clinical scope decisions. And we will also establish a people with lived experience advisory committee who will provide patient and community perspectives, as well as inputs into equity considerations, accessibility, and usability requirements. This slide is meant to illustrate the near-term roadmap and a little bit of what we're aiming to achieve over the first 18 months of the program. We were granted the mandate from the MOH earlier this year in April of 2026. And over the past few months, we've been working to lay on laying the foundation. So establishing the program team and leadership, governance and co-design model, as well as supporting perinatal-focused data standards in collaboration with CIHI and our proof of concepts. The necessary groundwork so that what follows is sustainable. And now we're ready to listen. If we're going to solve real-world problems, we need to start by understanding what we need to solve and how to solve it. And so over the next year, through good governance and a strong focus on engagement, we're hoping to design the requirement for a product that will be highly adoptable. And we're aiming to start building the solution sometimes around September of 2027. So how will we know what to build? So historically, trial and error has been a common strategy used by organizations as they develop and implement things. And it's been said that a most common approach is using ISLAGIAT principle, which stands for it seemed like a good idea at the time. However, now we're leveraging those lessons learned and applying a more rigorous science to our processes, known as knowledge translation, or KT for short, which directs us to effective and efficient strategies which we can use to develop, implement, and evaluate innovations. So it reduces that need to rely on trial and errors. And so while there is no unique or universal recipe for success, from a KT perspective, there are three really essential ingredients to achieve improved outcome. First, we need effective innovations, and we can use KT to inform how we design our innovations and our product for optimal functionality, adoption, and effect. And by designing a great product or a great system, although it isn't enough on its own, we also need to use KT to inform the process we use to plan how to implement our innovation. And finally, we need enabling context, and we can use KT to inform how to build relationship with our data partners to understand and support those enabling contexts where we want our innovations to be used. And finally, our KT colleagues here at Bourne are working on adapting the World Health Organization framework for monitoring and evaluating digital health initiatives, as well as the Bourne's Actioning Insights Toolkit. More to come on that a bit soon. These principles are included right here from the onset of the project to allow us to learn and to iterate as we develop this project and this tool. An embedded KT approach asks that we think upstream about the care improvements and the solution that this is going to inform. And so to solve the navigation issues, it takes an understanding of the gaps and evidence to get to a better outcome. This slide shows how we make sure that the DOPR reflects reality, not assumptions, through a thoughtful engagement approach. So we want to design the DOPR with you and not for you. First, clinician engagements. These engagements will help us understand current perinatal care workflows, documentation practices, information sharing challenges, and clinical decision-making needs across different provider groups. They will also explore perspectives on EMR integration, interoperability, privacy and data governance, equity, and the features that clinicians would need in a connected digital perinatal record to improve care coordination, reduce data entry burden, and support the adoption of a digital OPR. Second, our lived experience engagement. This will be trust-based work with people who are pregnant or recently pregnant. deliberately centering equity-deserving communities, Black, Indigenous, racialized, S2S LGBTQIA+, les francophones, rural and remote, newcomer communities, and others. This will include methods such as listening sessions, one-on-one interviews, an online survey, and community partner-led conversations. These engagements will explore participant experiences navigating pregnancy care, including care coordination, access to information, communication with their providers, and continuity of care as well. It will ask about preferences for digital health information, privacy and data sharing, equity and barriers to care, while inviting participants to describe the features, supports, and trust factors they would ideally want to see in the digital pregnancy record. And so our goal here is really to embed both clinical expertise and patient perspective right from the very onset of the design phase. So co-designing the DOPR is essential, and we need your honest and critical input in order to deliver a product that truly bridges gaps, improve workflows, and most importantly, improves care outcomes. So there are several ways that you can participate. And keep in mind that these opportunities will continue to arise throughout this iterative process as we learn more and identify areas requiring additional consultations. So we will be welcoming clinicians across all perinatal disciplines to share their experience, workflows, challenges, and visions with us. There will also be a variety of opportunity to contribute, so you can choose the method that works best for you, whether that's providing quick feedback or something more in-depth. We encourage all people with lived experience, clinician researchers, and administrators to get involved. If you have a bit more bandwidth or are looking for a deeper involvement, please share your interest in joining us in one of our advisory group. The clinical and the people with lived experience advisory you saw in the governance slide just a little bit earlier will provide guidance across the life of the project, and invitations are open to clinician researchers and people with lived experience. The technical advisory will begin their activities just a little bit later in the process, post-engagement activities. And so if you scan the QR code here on the screen, you will be directed to our expression of interest form on the Born Connect website. And we would be truly grateful if you wanted to share this information through your network with colleagues or contacts who you think might be interested in helping shape this work. As I mentioned a bit earlier, we're also looking for primary care clinician to help evaluate a point of care application currently in the proof of concept phase. This pilot aims to leverage patient historical Born data to inform four different personalized care insights in a new pregnancy by delivering insights on specific risk factors for certain conditions, including preventative care that can be initiated early in pregnancy, and counseling support to improve workflow and care outcomes. So, for example, an insight on preterm preeclampsia would identify patients at increased risk for this condition based on past risk factors, such as prior history of preeclampsia or fetal growth restrictions, pregnant patient age, type of conception, etc. So we're looking for participants who will work through patient scenarios and share their feedback on the clinical value, workflow fits, and usability of these insights in a one-time 60 to 90 minutes interview. And findings from these sessions will help us inform and shape the development of the future Born Connect platform. If you're interested or know other people who might be interested in participating, this QR code here will take you to the recruitment form for the pilot. And we circle back to Camilla one more time. As we wrap up today, let's return to her story and to the more than 160,000 individuals and families who navigate perinatal care in Ontario each year. We'd like to leave you with one final question. So if you imagine it's 2030 and Camilla is being interviewed on a podcast about how digital innovation transformed her perinatal care experience, what would she say about Born Connect and the DOPR Plus? The future of that story is being shaped today by all of us. And so we'd love to hear your vision. We will open the chat function for the rest of the webinar. Please share your thoughts in the chat. And as well, the Q&A section will continue to be used to submit your questions for our team. Our team can be reached via the email that you can see on the slide here. And if you have any further questions or you would like further information, please, we're always happy to answer all of your questions. Thank you kindly for taking the time to join us today and learn more about this project. And I will pass it on to Mariah, who will share questions from the audience. Thank you, everyone.
First of all, thank you so much, Alicia, Anna, Pascal, for that fantastic presentation, really outlining the vision for DOPR Plus. There are an anchor guest as well in a patient story of Camilla. There are several numerous questions that were pre-submitted, as well as several in the Q&A box. I'm going to do my best to pair some together with some key themes. I would say one of the biggest coming up right now is recognizing that there's numerous EMRs used in the perinatal care continuum. So how will DOPR Plus integrate with EMRs? Will it be replacing them? What will this look like? Can you tell us more about that?
I'll take that. No, the goal is for the DOPR is not intended to replace existing EMRs. The vision is very much to integrate with EMRs we use today so clinicians can continue working within familiar systems whenever possible. We're hoping to co-design this with people who actually do the job so that the product is something that we all want to buy. And I would just say, today we use an e-form for the OPR. It's a static form that doesn't give us a lot, except being a static record. But in the end, we're still clicking a button and loading it onto our screens. So it will not be worse than that. It will only get better.
Great. Thank you so much, Anna. And this next question is on the integration of lab results. So, will the DOPR be integrating labs from other hospitals, community labs such as Life Labs, DynaCare, or public health results, example, serologies?
Want to take that? Certainly, that's our vision. So, I think I mentioned in that section around what the opportunities are. It's to stop the transcription. We have centralized intelligence. It's accurate. That needs to be linked. And so, starting small, we will want to first assess some of the quality of the data that's in some of our lab systems today, and also identify what's relevant for pregnancy per the OPR to see how we can transcribe that directly into these platforms and solutions. So absolutely, the goal would be leveraging OLIS, leveraging interoperability standards, the lab data we get today to integrate that into the perinatal record as well.
Great. Thanks so much, Alicia. And there are quite a few questions, a couple that were pre-submitted, a couple that are in the Q&A here about Indigenous engagement. So just wondering, how do you anticipate handling data sovereignty concerns for Indigenous and Black patient data? And how can you speak more to your Indigenous engagement plan?
So we know that Indigenous engagement is anchored in trust and in existing relationship, and we continue to work with various communities. This has to be anchored in what they would deem to be appropriate and beneficial for community benefit. And so what it starts with actually awareness of these initiatives. So today is just the kickoff around communication, and we seek to provide even more communication and awareness of these of this initiative insofar as being able to meet Indigenous communities and urban communities as well where their needs are. And so we're looking forward to strengthening those relationships going forward.
Wonderful. Thank you, Alicia. And there's a question here from Samantha, noting it might be a bit early to ask, but once a patient uses the DOPR Plus for one pregnancy, will it attach to them for the next pregnancy, or will it be a new record that's created?
Isn't that the dream? I mean, I think we're hoping that there's one record for one pregnant person, however many times they're pregnant, and we're able to pull data from the last pregnancy to help support the next pregnancy. So that's the dream, but we're going to have to work with people with lived experience, technical partners, and clinicians to co-design it and see how it looks.
Wonderful. Thanks, Anna. And there are a couple questions around patients accessing their information. Can you tell us more about this? And there was one comment here just around, for example, patients might present to ED where in the ED they're not using the Born Information System, so they don't have access to the OPR. So can you just tell us more? Would a patient be able to access their information in an example like that?
Well, I think I touched on this during the presentation that the goal is to have a direct-to-patient or family platform. And patient-centered access is part of the broader vision for Born Connect. There's a big focus on self-managed data, governance, and people being able to access their own information when they need it. This is a great example. The emergency department, physicians, clinicians could also have access to some sort of view of the DOPR, depending on what they would need to see. Again, these are all kinds of things that are in flux, but very much the patient will have access to their own information.
Great. Thank you, Anna. And with the DOPR Plus, how will privacy and security be managed?
Mute. So similarly to reflecting on the limitations that being in circle of care present. So certainly privacy by design is how we will think about this from the very beginning. And we also talked about identity verification management. So pregnancy is a very sensitive time. It's really important that who is accessing this record is in fact who they say they are. So identity verification is one of those key cornerstone aspects. There'll be plenty of auditing for who accesses this record. And ensuring that there is availability to those who are in circle of care only and not to others. And that's kind of a framing and a normal structure that we have for privacy and security within the registry to only limit PHI to those who need it at point of care or to the individual whose health record it belongs to.
Thank you, Alicia. And there's a few questions in the Q&A around involvement with public health. So are opportunities to collect and share data with public health organizations being considered as part of DOPR Plus? And this individual says public health providers support many clients during pregnancy and throughout postpartum and early childhood periods, working closely with primary care providers and specialists to coordinate care. They also have valuable insights into social determinants of health and other factors that influence the health and well-being of parents and infants. How will these roles and contributions be reflected in future collaboration and information sharing?
I can take that. I think we identified public health as a huge has a huge role to play in this. And I think when we think about our earlier beginnings with the electronic healthy baby, healthy children, Born has identified that is critical. And so again, circle of care would apply to public health. And we, as we do our engagements, both with clinician groups and people with lived experience, we want to hear about what that looks like for public health and how we can support it. So it's 100% envision.
Thank you, Alicia. And there's a couple of questions. You mentioned the project plan for the first 18 months. When do you expect that something like this would be available?
To be honest, we're not saying it will be available any sooner than the next 3 years, just to be very, very frank and open and realistic. We need to listen for what we're solving for that will help us with our requirements gathering. We also know application development is happening iteratively and very quickly these days and only getting faster. So I think traditional software development practices have significantly changed, meaning that we might get to a product much sooner that we can test and scale and build adoption from, perhaps regionally. And that's part of what we're going to be listening for as well, is what's practical for adoption. But I'd say no sooner than approximately a 3 year time period from now.
Great. Thank you for that, Alicia. And what does success look like, and how will you be evaluating this along the way? Can you speak more about your evaluation plan?
Yes. So we have an evaluation specialist that is supporting this project. And success may look like a lot of things. For example, less duplicative documentation, better information sharing, improved clinician experience, enhanced patient experience, better quality of data to support care, improved population health. We're going to use I believe a WHO framework for monitoring and evaluating digital health initiatives throughout the process, throughout the design and implementation process to understand where we need to pivot or where we need to shift, as opposed to, retrospectively. What was that framework? It sounded like a good idea at the time, trying to patch holes at the end. Alicia, did you want to add anything?
I think it's great. And I think one of the other pieces is the opportunity as we scale it to be able to do almost like randomized control trial, if you will, of how effective it is at changing outcomes is also going to be an important aspect of our evaluation. Because at the end of the day, this is about better outcomes, evidence-based care being provided at point of care, a more connected record, we hope leads to better outcomes. And we hope we'll have, as we roll this out, the ability to share how that is making a change, whether that's in screening participation rates, or better follow-up postpartum, better screening for perinatal mental health. There are a number of ways in which we would want to evaluate the success of these tools.
Thank you, Anna and Alicia. And we have time for about two more questions. And this individual recognizes it might be early to ask this question, but are there plans to make the record visible to healthcare providers and hospitals in other provinces?
I'll take that one. So ideally, yes. In fact, our early conversations and our early initiatives around that POC was to build national data standards for interoperability of a perinatal record. Because the recognition is that the data we know needs to flow from EMR to EMR is the same between jurisdictions, then we need to have the ability to create those standards in our own jurisdictions and then unlock the door as needed for that to be ported between jurisdictions. There is something called the health sector data space. Health sector data space work being led by CIHI. And I think those national portability principles are baked into the work that they're doing there, as well as a lot of the governance work. And so we're following very closely. They're great partners to us. And the answer is yes, it's not too early. And I think, and I don't want to speak for any other jurisdiction, but there are a couple who have launched similar initiatives actually this year. And so as we're building together in lockstep, we'll definitely look to making sure we don't get out of connection in terms of what we deem to be appropriate for interoperable data sharing between provinces, between organizations across provincial lines, especially when you think about things like the borders of Ontario. That's a pretty common issue.
Thanks, Alicia. And I'll end with a forward-thinking question. What is your vision of where the OPR might be in its capabilities in 10 to 15 years? And this was a pre-submitted question.
I think it's such a hard question to ponder just because there are so many new things popping up. I think probably a lot of it will be AI enabled. I think we're going to be using AI tools, but not having AI do our healthcare for us, I would hope. There's lots that will happen between now and then, but the goal will be to, have the principles that we've had to make sure that the DOPR is reliable, relevant, safe, and all the other things that we've committed to.
Yeah, I definitely want, I certainly agree with Anna that in 10 to 15 years, AI will play a significant role, I think, in being efficient in healthcare delivery and delivering the right messages at the right time. So that's absolutely there. I think what would be ideal is that people know more and can anticipate better what comes next in their pregnancy and are better informed about not only their decisions, but what the experience has been for other pregnant people and how that factors into their decision making. I think right now there's a bit of a gap between what people understand happens in pregnancy in advance of them being faced with the decisions that they have to make. And so the easier we can make that for people to understand what's coming, I think the better care decisions we get and the healthier outcomes that we have in the end.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for that. And I can see too in the reflective activity from Camilla's, there's some reflections there around what this could look like as well in the future. Also, there's lots of comments around people being very excited about this and interested hearing about this development. So once again, if you're interested, please do complete that expression of interest form. Tammy has put the links in the chat. So thank you all again for joining us today. That brings us to the end of today's webinar. Thank you once again, Pascal, Anna, and Alicia for presenting today. And you're welcome to join us for future Born webinars as part of the Data to Action series. We will also be issuing a short survey that will pop up in your browser. We would greatly appreciate your feedback as it helps us improve future sessions. And once again, thank you all for your time, engagement, and thoughtful questions today. We appreciate your participation and hope you found the session valuable.